And he asked me to preach. And he said, Brother Rudy, he said, I said, I will. And I did. You'd be here. I said, okay. I've not done anyone that bad, but I've come close to that. Be instant out season, in season. Amen. I love the Lord tonight. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to a very familiar scripture in the book of Matthew. Mark also tells the same thing and mentions the same thing here. I want to talk about a passionate, pleasurable pursuit of God. All of us need to be pursuing God as children of God. And there's joy, there's peace, there's a fullness, a sweetness in being in the center of God's will and of being where God would have you to be. Now, we just went through Jonah, and we realized that Jonah didn't pursue the Lord at any time, really. He only did what he felt he had to do, and that's not the type of life that we need, that we want as a child of God. We want God to be real in our hearts, real in our lives, and he will if we'll let him. And I don't think any of us have plumbed the depths or reached the heights of what God has for us in this life, but we can. Please stand. You know the verses very well. Many of you can quote them. It's been a couple of years, maybe 3 years, since we preached on it, on this these verses, but it was a little different when we preached on it, but we'll do it again. I couldn't get this out of my mind because I've been praying this for myself, that the Lord would help me to do this with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my strength. Sister, you're just supposed to find it. Turn the page. We might get through this or not. Brother, you might need to come up. Matthew chapter 22. Yes, we look expectantly to the pastor to tell us where to go, and he never told us. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now, Mark chapter 12 added strength. With all your strength. So he added a little bit more, added a little bit more of what Jesus had said. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. All that they said, all the law stated, everything is contained within these two verses. Let's pray. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would give us a great love for you. And Lord, that great love for you will produce a great love for others. The more we love you, the more we love them. And Father, the more we love them, the more that we know that we love you. And we pray, God, that you would touch every heart that is here, that we have a passion about us when it comes to you, God. Lord, there's nothing wrong with other passions, but they better not be bigger than our passion for you. And I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, to gain all and to seek all and to find all that you have for us. May all the presence that you have in heaven be received by us and opened by us to bring you greater glory. And we'll give you praise and give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Now, what they're talking about there, the mind, everything, that is speaking of what the soul is. The mind, our emotions, our will. God is saying here that I want you to love me with all your soul, with everything that you've got. Now, the lawyers here, they came to Jesus, and they were spurred in part by the Pharisees coming and talking about Christ and asking the questions. They were pushing this lawyer forward, and he wanted to know the truth, though. I believe this is a good man, or at least he became a good man. I believe he wanted to know the truth about Christ. And he asked him a very good question, an important question. And when Jesus answered the question that he asked, he laid down the foundation of Christianity, the foundation of what God means for you and I as a child of God to be. He laid down something that is wonderful. And in this, when we read the verses of Scripture, he's talking about a passionate pursuit of God, about something that is pleasurable to the child of God, for them to reach the very greatest height that they can get. And that is what God wants in our life. He wants that type of stuff. He said here, and he was talking about loving God. See, this pursuit consists in loving God. That's what it's about. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it talks about that. It talks about, in verse 5 and 6 of Deuteronomy 6, it talks about us going in and looking at the Word of God, learning about God, becoming what God wants us to be because of His Word that was there, to pursue Him. These verses mean that we are to give a total love to God, not to the world, not to any pursuit that we have, whether it be something that's happy, makes us happy, something that we enjoy. God said that pales in comparison and must pale in comparison to what I want you to be as a child of God. Here in these verses, we're talking about a love that dominates our emotions. It dominates our emotions. A love that causes us to live rightly and righteously. See, we love God. The Bible said you're going to keep His commandments. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but it means you're going to desire to be perfect. You're going to want to do all that God wants you to do. So it's going to dominate your emotions. See, when I love something, I let it change who I am. I love my wife, and I know there's many men here that love your wife, and you'll do anything. You'll die for her. But I love her, so it's changed who I am. I don't look at others and desire them. That died with me. I don't do that. I don't desire another wife. Who would want another one? You know, amen. I just had to say that. But no, I don't know where that came from. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be serious here, and you guys are laughing. But anyway, it should dominate our emotions. It changes who we are. And that is what the love of God will do. It'll change who you are, but it also directs our thoughts. It directs who I am and who I think about and what I think about. When I love the Lord, it keeps me from thinking bad thoughts. Now, do they slip in? Absolutely. Sometimes even in dreams, they'll come and you wonder, where in the world did that come? But they may slip in. They may come in from time to time. But that's the exception, not the rule. I keep my mind in order and I let the mind of Christ be in me and work through me the things of God. When things come on that might hurt that love or destroy that love or hurt the partner that I have in Christ, then I'm going to stop that. And I'm going to stop that emotion. I'm going to stop that thought that is in my mind. Not only that, but it is the love that is the dynamic of our actions. Out of this love, we live and move and have our being. Because I love God the way I do, and God has commanded that for sure, but when I find out the love of God and what Christ done for me, then it's easy for me to love Him. The love of Christ constrains me to do that. But it also goes on in another verse here. It says that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. And that is the same as number one. Our love for others will grow as our love for God grows. Now, it's easy to let ritual take its place. It's easy to let thoughts and patterns of our life move that love out of number one position. We see it all through the Word of God. We see it in the Ephesus church. We see it in many other places. Those that once loved the Lord, they no longer love Him like they used to did. And see, as a child of God, that is what God is talking about, is a consistent, continuing love that is ever growing in your life. Now, it's not an oochie-goochie feeling. It's not something that the teenagers look at and say, oh, I love you. Or we say we love everything. You know, sometimes I told the person the other day that I love pizza. And I do. I like pizza. I love pizza, but I don't love it like I do God. I enjoy it because it brings me something. But I enjoy God because of who He is and the glory and the goodness of God. And that is who I love. The Bible tells you and I that. Now, as children of God, we need to understand that God has called us to that type of love, commanded us to that type of love, that He has commissioned us to do something for God that we can't do for ourselves. See, this love that He's talking about here is an agape love. God already bestowed it in us. The love of God, agape, has been shed abroad in our hearts, the Bible says, at salvation. He deposited that love. It's a fruit of the Spirit, one of the foundational fruits of the Spirit. And God has given that to us. So we operate out of what God has already done. I love Him because He first loved me, the Bible says. So God deposited that love in me. He gave that love to me. And I'm just simply to pull it out. and allow God to work in and through me. That's what we're talking about here. It's going to cause something that is pleasurable to the child of God. It is going to be passionate. There's no such thing as a passionless Christianity. There's not. If you got him, you're going to be passionate about it. You can't be any other way. As a child of God, we need to understand that. And that's what God is talking about here. Now, Webster defines passion as this, and I like it. It said it's a strong desire or a devotion to some object or activity, listen to this, that materializes in action. It moves us from being spectators to being the sponsors of this love. It gets us out of our seat. It gets us across the aisle. It causes us to forgive. It causes us to seek the welfare and the help of others. Because God said, you do a glass of water in my name, and it's just like you're doing it to me. So when we love others, we are showing directly our love to him. And God said, I want you to love me that way. I want you to do those things like I want to. Now, the passion, I said, it comes from God. He's the one that gives it. We have it. Say it with me. I have it. You already have the capacity to have a passionate love for God. And by the way, husbands, you're supposed to have that love already for your wife. Agape, to love them as Christ loved the church. And we, as God's children, need to understand that a passionate love does the same thing that Jesus did for the church. It gives itself to death. And the Bible said that when we got saved, that we should have or did die to self. Now, I think we spend the rest of our life doing that, struggling with that. But the Bible said that we've died to the old way and we've come alive to the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't preach on a thought like this without thinking of a revival I held in Alexandria, Tennessee, several years ago of the Church of God. And I remember we was preaching it, and I was up front, we was having a prayer line. I was in Church of God. I honored what they believed, and I was praying over them. I was just praying over people. I think we would do better if we'd done some of that ourselves and done what God and prayed over people and more than we do now. And anyway, I was there. We was praying over people, and there was some coming to the altar, and we began to pray at the altar, and it was a good service, a wonderful service. And this one guy, he was over there, and he was saying, and I've told you this, but I'm going to tell you again, life like it was the first time, and but he kept saying, Lord, fill me up, fill me up. I mean, he was yelling this. You couldn't hardly pray for him saying that, oh, Lord, I'm empty. Fill me up. And boy, this lady on the other side of the pulpit on the pew, I never will forget it. She said, oh, God. She said, fill him up. He leaks a lot. Boy, I'll never forget that. I couldn't pray for a while. I'll be honest with you. I said, but I got to thinking, we all leak a lot. Battery runs down when it's used. The power that was in it is, it grows weak. And as children of God, God said, I want you to love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's going to be hard to do. I think we'll fail if we fail. We won't fail doing too much, loving too much. We'll fail not doing enough. So I don't mean to push you out and say, oh, Brother Rudy, you're pushing me out. You're causing me. I just can't do it. Sure you can. It's in you. Why can't you? I can do all things through Christ. We can do anything that we want to do, choose to do, because God gave us the power to do that. And then he commanded us here. Do you think God would command you to do something that you wasn't able to do? Absolutely not. So he said, love me this way. And the Bible says that we need to love each other this way and love God this way. Revelation 2 talks about that. He told the Ephesus church, he said in verse 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, he said, you've left your first love. In other words, you don't love me like you used to did. You don't love me with the same fervency, with the same passion that you used to did. And he said, you better be careful. It's a warning to them. And I think sometimes we do the same thing. See, I know a whole lot more today than I did 37 years ago when I first started preaching. I know a whole lot today, a whole lot more today than I did then about God, about the things of God. And so do you from the time you were saved. But I'll tell you, back then I had a fervency. I had a desire to do everything I could for him. But you know, I try to keep that now. I want you to see that now. I want to know that I have that now. That fervency of God, that passion to serve the Lord, to learn about Him, to go for Him. But if I'm not careful, it'll leave. And there's been times in my life that it has. There's been times in my life that I just preached because I had to preach. That I lived the Christian life simply because I felt I had to. And there may be somebody here today, because I've seen them. I've seen them all over. I've seen people sit side by side. One would grow in the Spirit and be blessed. The other would die. And they would be out of church and away from God. See, it can happen to any of us. It can happen to you. And it may be happening to you tonight. You may be empty. You may be undone. You may be struggling. You don't feel the presence of the Lord. You don't feel Him in your life. You don't think that He's doing anything for you or with you. That's a bad feeling to have, but all of us can get there. We can't blame nobody. You can't blame anybody here. You can't blame the pastor. It's not his fault. Your relationship is yours and God's. I mean, that's what makes you go. But you got to keep kindling that fire. See, we need to understand that God gives the love. He gives the passion. But you and I have to tend the fire. Do you understand? Can you say amen? We have to tend the fire. We have to keep going back to the Word, keep going back to the things that God says. Now, what is the force of passion in our life? Number one, it'll change things. You won't be the same. When you have a passionate pursuit of God, it'll be something that'll change your life, that'll give you strength, it'll give you power, it'll give you glory in your life. Every day will be a day that is a joy-filled day. No wonder David could say, "This is the day of the Lord. I'll rejoice and be glad in it." Every day is a day of the Lord. And when I love Him and I put everything in it that God has made me. Now, to me, I love to preach. To me, that's my calling. That's what God has given me. I love to teach. I love to see somebody grow in the Lord. It's thrilling me to death that all these people are learning Bible verses. I'm overjoyed. I don't know. I guess you have to be a pastor with a twisted mind a little bit. But my goodness, I love that. I love to hear somebody tell me as to how, "Brother Rudy, that's the first Bible verse I've learned." And I said, "Praise God. Learn another one. I love it. Our sister this tonight, I asked her about Genesis 1:27. She quoted it to me, and I love that. Now, she's a little weird herself. Tina, I won't call your name. But she's a little weird herself. She found all of these verses, Emily, and she wrote them every one down. And she thought was going to post to learn those in 1 week. And she come to me. She said, "I can't do that." I said, "Boy, I couldn't either. It's a lot of verses." But she had a whole book of verses. But she's going to attempt it. My goodness. There is nothing you cannot do, Tina, because you'll put everything you've got in it. And with God helping you. But oh my, to learn about God, to learn something new about the Lord. I mean, that's the passionate pursuit of God. And I know everybody's not going to get on board. I know everybody is not going to be with that. But in this here, this is your joy. It'll change you. And that's what passion does. But not only that, passion changes us because passion promises provision. I want you to say that with me. Passion promises provision. It promises power. It promises gifting, blessing. When you are passionate for God, it opens up heaven to pour you out a blessing. What did the Bible say in giving? I'll just use giving. But you could use it in anything that does with God. But giving. The Bible said give. Give willingly, simply. And it should be given back to you. Pressed down and running over. How many believes you can't outgive God? You can't. You can't outgive Him. So we need to understand that passion, the passion for God's love, passion to love Him and His people, it promises you and I as children of God provision in our lives, but also passion powers. It powers our potential. You're not going to do nothing for God if you don't love Him. If you don't have any passion for anything, Brother Terry, wherever he's at, he's outside. He don't like to stay in very often anymore. But anyway, he's protecting us. But Brother Terry, he has a passion for fishing. Now, he has a passion for God, too. I was thinking of Brother Matthew when I was thinking of this. He has a passion to fly. But he's with God too. He enjoys that, and God has gifted them to do those things, and they do them well, and they have a passion, and that's okay. That's okay. Because the passion here, it powers our potential. As they love to do what they do, they're going to be good at it. Matthew's good at flying. I would rather him fly me anywhere as anybody else that I know or anybody I don't know. I like that. I mean, this guy can run through a herd of buzzards. And he can still keep that plane going. And he did. He did. Killed them, tore them all to pieces. I like that. I mean, this guy can land on two wheels. I believe he could land on one. You know, as people prayed. How many believes that? They got a passion for it. They're going to be good at it. And I like to fish, but I don't have a passion for fishing. I would love to learn to fly, but I don't have a passion for it. I wouldn't be that good at it. As children of God, when we have a passion for God, we're going to be good at serving Him. We're going to reach our potential, our climax. We're going to reach the pinnacle of what God has for us. And that is what passion does. Kindle your passion. Stir it up and allow God to move into your life. But passion, it does a lot of things. It does something else. As a child of God, it promotes perseverance. Our passion promotes perseverance. You're good at something, you're going to persevere. My father-in-law took me fishing a few years ago. I think I offended him. He hadn't took me since. But anyway, he took me fishing. It was 20 below zero. Not a kidding. I was over in his boat. He was going full blast, I think because I was his son-in-law. I mean, it was cold. I had two layers. He didn't tell me it was going to be so cold. He's going to go so fast. He was dressed up, had four or five layers. I had a couple of layers. We was doing 35 miles an hour down that. I don't know how in the world it kept from being frozen. Our tip of our rod froze while we were fishing. That's work. That's hard. We was going down through there, and he said, "You cold?" My buddy, no. Can't you go any faster? My goodness, I was praying God would come back. I was going to say, hell never looked so good, but I don't need to say that, I don't guess. But I needed some heat. I needed some heat, and I was cold. And we fished all day. I mean, we fished from 5 o'clock in the morning when we left, and we got home at night. And I looked at him. I said, "Don," I said, "I've never fished this long." He said, "Well, I'd come home early because you was with me." Passion. Passion is going to help you reach your potential, and it's going to cause you to persevere. Persevere. Keep on keeping on. See, we need a passion for the Lord. The reason our churches are empty today, nobody has a passion. They don't have a passion for God. They don't have a passion to do something. And every little thing keeps them away from the things of God. But I want to talk about passion makers. Passion makers. How do I gain a passion? Number one, you need to have a balance in your Christian life. And I bet very few of us do have a balance in our Christian life. See, the Bible talks about several disciplines in our life. Prayer, reading the Bible, attending the house of God. A lot of disciplines in our life. And there needs to be a balance of all of those. See, some people love singing, and they'll go here and there and everywhere to sing, but singing only does a part. It's only a part of your ministry. I love singing. I love good singing. I love that. And we try to have it, but there needs to be other things. You'll be shallow if that's all you do. There needs to be the preaching of the word and the hearing of the word that away. There needs to be an attendance to the house of God and be taught the word of God. There has to be prayer. Bible study, Bible reading. Those are important. They're disciplines that we have to do as a child of God. Listen, I don't know about you, but Matthew, I've watched him. He studied to get his test passed and to get his license and all of that. He done all of that work. He applied himself. He understood the multi-discipline disciplines, and he had to learn to fly that plane. My goodness, and to make quick decisions. It's already in him. And it has to come out. And that's what we have to do as a child of God. There has to be a balance in the Christian life. But number two, there has to be a confession of sin. You can't have a passion for God without a confession of sin. I heard an older preacher one time preach, and or he was praying. And I'll never forget, I was a young boy, and it really set me back. I didn't understand what he was saying. And he prayed, and he said, "Lord, forgive me of my sins, for they are many." He preached that night, and I thought that the whole night. I said, I wonder what sins he has. You know? But what he was simply saying is true with all of us. We have many sins. The Bible said in First John, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. You make God a liar because you do. Now, we're to confess them, yes. But to have sin, there must be a period of time that you have not confessed them. But there ought to be a time in our life, and it shouldn't be just of a night when we ask God to forgive us, or of a morning. It should be minutely. In other words, we should do what 1 John chapter 1 tells us. We need to be in fellowship with Him at all times. And let the blood of Christ continually cleanse us from all sin. See, that is what God talks about, and that's passion. It takes a passion to do that. The other day, I have an app on my phone. It teaches me Bible verses, and Sister Emily gave it to me, and I love it. It's Verse Locker. Anybody would enjoy that. And I got that on my phone, and I pressed it, and I listened to that thing 1,000 times, I guess. I'm slow. It takes a whole lot for me. But I got that verse in my heart. I've got it in my mind now, and I can quote it. And that is what God is saying, having a passion for me. It changes who you are. It helps you to reach your potential. It helps you to do those things that are right. We need balance. We need confession of sin. And we need forgiveness. Now, what I mean by that is we need to accept forgiveness. Have you ever failed the Lord and then you failed Him the same way again? And you failed Him the same way again? And you sinned the same way again? And you were trying. You asked His forgiveness. You ask Him to help you. Maybe anger come in, and then it came in again, and you say, God, how many times are you going to forgive me? As long as you're sincere every time you ever ask Him. Every time that your heart is bent toward Him, He forgives you. See, that's what He told him. He said 7 times 70, that's a complete number. That means a complete computation of completeness. 7 is complete, full. You don't need anything else, the number. And what God is saying to you and I is that we need to forgive ourselves. See, it's hard for me to forgive me. Sometimes I don't like me. I don't like who I am. And I'm sure you're the same way. If you think too well of yourself, the Bible says that's wrong too. But sometimes I don't like my thoughts. I don't like the anger that comes in my heart sometimes. I don't like the feeling of hardness that sometimes I get. And we're all that away. And as a child of God, we have to go and confess that sin, but we need to ask God when we do that He will forgive it, and we need to forgive ourselves. But we also need to forgive others. They have the same struggles that you do, that I do. They fail just like you do and just like I do. And we have to forgive them. And the Bible says that we need to do that. You can't hold unforgiveness in your heart and have a passion for God. You can't do it. See, unforgiveness is sin, and you can't hold sin in your heart and have that passion for the Lord. It'll bring condemnation. And the Bible says, they that walk after the Spirit, they that are in Christ and walk after the Spirit, Romans 8:1, that there's no condemnation in their heart. But when we don't, there is. And we have to understand what God is saying. So a confession of sin and forgiveness, but also fellowship. Turn with me. It won't last too much longer. But turn with me over to the book of Ecclesiastes. I like a couple of verses here, and they're wonderful. Chapter 4, I'll tell you where to go. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. So Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. So get in that place. Chapter 4. And they're wonderful here. I love these verses. Fellowship. Spending time around other Christians. Why do we need that? Why is God leading us to do that? Notice what it says here. I love this. In verse 9 and 10, if you're there, say amen. Verse 9 and 10, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Oh, I like those verses. The Bible said a threefold cord is not easily broken, it says. And it means three different people, three different ways as children of God, as we pull together for each other. What does the Bible tell us in Hebrews? It says to gather together, to provoke and to love in good works. Assemble yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, it says. For that's what we're called for, is to fellowship one with another. Church is important. I've watched people down through the years, and I've saw there's always a pattern of people that get out of church. Is number one, they'll come to church, but they're not at church. And they listen a little bit, but they don't listen much. And as soon as they come, as soon as they can, they leave. They don't fellowship. They don't spend around. They don't have time to do that anymore, because they did when they first got saved. But they leave. So they're here in body, but they're not here in mind. And then eventually they're not here in mind or body. They start laying out Wednesday night or a Sunday night or even then Sunday morning. And a child of God like that loses their passion. They've already lost it. They're getting cold, indifferent, and they're pulling away from God because they're pulling away from His people. One thing I've noticed as a pastor is, don't you do that to me. They'll quit answering my phone calls. You seen that? Oh my. When you do that, I'm going to pray for you that coals of fire falls on your head, you know, because I know something's wrong. Now, I miss calls. You miss calls. There's times we're busy. Sometimes several times. I'm not saying that. But when somebody calls, it's a child of God, and you don't want to talk to them, something's wrong, not with them, with you. And you have no passion for God, and you're weak, and you need to be careful. Because the devil loves that. He loves that. So as a child of God, our heart turns cold, and we stop coming to church. But listen to Hebrews 10. I quoted that. It said, "Let us consider one another, not look on ourselves, because we love our neighbor, we love our God, and don't think about ourselves. Die to self. Don't be selfish. But consider one another, provoking to love and to good works, not forsaking." And the Bible says that as a child of God, that we're to do that more and more as we see the day of the Lord approaching. I believe He's soon coming. We need to be doing it every day. We need to have this passion that is alive and it's well. We also need, as a child of God, we need to have a plan, a purpose in our lives. I think that's the D groups that we've got. The discipleship groups are wonderful. But that you don't have to meet with them, but you've got to have a plan in your Christian life to stay strong. A plan in your Christian life that will keep you red hot for God. Because everything will go out. You drive a truck. As you drive the truck, you're going to use the gas. Things are going to wear out. It's going to get dirty. There has to be a maintenance to it. You drive any vehicle, you do anything, that has to be true. And it's true with the Christian life. There has to be maintenance in your life, a plan to keep everything going, a plan to keep everything up, a purpose in what you're doing. A lot of people live their Christian life just haphazardly. They might come to church, might not. They might read the Word that week, or they might not. You can't do it and have a passion for God. You can't do it and obey the Scriptures that are there. You need nourishment. But you also need to remember one more thing. God is hopelessly in love with you. You knew that, didn't you? I guess I'll close with this. But I've been renewing that thought in my mind. God really does love me. It amazed me when me and Donna was married, and how much did I realize finally that she loved me. Because I loved her that way. And for me to really realize how much that my God loves me, hopelessly in love with me. You say, "Brother Rudy, prove it." Well, sure. Go to the cross. He died for your sins. Now, if He doesn't love you, nobody ever will love you. I appreciate Brother Dow and Sister Karen and the love that they have to each other. You see one, you see the other. I mean, they're constantly praying for each other and uplifting each other. And I appreciate them. They have a relationship. They have nourished that relationship. And we have a relationship with God tonight. You've never plumbed the depths of what He has for you. You've never reached the heights of all that He's got for you. I believe when we get to heaven, there's going to be presents up there that Jesus is going to look over and say, "I had those for you, but I never got close enough to give them to you. You never would let me in this door or this room. I had the answer for everything if you just let me." Well, the Bible said it in these verses, to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Now, can you say with Jesus, as He said it with you on the cross, "I'd rather die than live without you"? That's what He said at Calvary. Tonight, as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, would you honestly say and be able to say from your heart, "Father, Lord Jesus, I would rather die as live my life without you"? Father, I pray that you'd give us a passionate, a pleasurable pursuit of you, God, of the living God. And God, I pray that you would touch every soul that is here, every heart that is here, that, dear Lord, we would confess our sin, we would live our lives so that you could reveal yourself to us. Father, help us to be what you'd have us to be. Help us to live for you the best we can, knowing that at times we will be unfaithful, but you will never be unfaithful. And Father, we love you, we praise you, we glory in who you are tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Can you just raise your hands to the Lord and I love you, Jesus. I love you. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the Spirit of the living God dwelling in me. Thank you for your peace, your joy, your long-suffering you give to me, your forgiveness, your mercy, your grace. Father, we could keep going on. Praise your name. And God, help me to passionately pursue you. In Jesus' name, can everybody say amen? I love him tonight.